this presentation of Bethel Family Church. We hope you enjoy listening and that it helps you to grow closer to Jesus.
I have been self-appointed to do the next sermon of the fruit of the Spirit, and I decided to stand here so you don't have to try to see me down there. But I'm uncomfortable, and you're probably more comfortable. When I was thinking about the fruit of the Spirit, let's start with this. I wonder if by the end of this series, whether you're going to be able to memorize. You could sing it. Who knows a song? How many of the kids, there's a couple of kids. My kids were raised on Colin Buchanan, and they had a song for this. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Oh, there is no law against these things. So I was thinking about how am I going to present the first fruit, which is love. And as I was thinking and pondering on this, the scripture that kept coming to mind was, this scripture kept coming to mind as I was thinking about the fruit of the Spirit, love. Now, I know that some of you are probably expecting me to do all the definitions of the different loves. I remember sitting in sermons when preachers would talk about the definitions of love and switching off and being completely bored. So I'm not going to do that. So this scripture, let's read this together. If you have your Bibles and you want to look it up, but you won't because I put it on the screen. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. For those people here who are married, who had this scripture read at their wedding? It is quite commonly known to be read out at a wedding. I wanted to bring it to you this morning, not in the romantic love and in the wedding kind of context, but just want to really look at these characteristics that help us to show love as a fruit. When you think of fruit, what is your favourite? What do you think of? Bananas. Mangoes. I personally have just a little bit of difficulty with this analogy of the fruit of the Spirit because I don't really like fruit that much. Gasp, and I don't know. I think that maybe I'm a little bit fructose intolerant, and so when I have fruit, it doesn't make me feel great. So it could be that. But I just never really liked it. I like my vegetables. I haven't tried hard enough. I do. I have moments of trying. But those of you who are gardeners will be able to relate a lot to the fruit and to, but when you think about growing fruit, you'll think about the soil, you'll think about watering, you'll think about the sunlight, you'll think about the seasons of the year, right? Not a gardener, gardeners out there. And you'll think about, like when the fruit is ripe to eat. And we all know that sometimes you can grow fruit, like on my very sad orange tree that hasn't been looked after for a long time, and pick the fruit off and it doesn't really taste that great, or maybe it's stopped growing. So anyone wants to come and take care of my orange tree, you're welcome to. Yeah, I think it needs a pruning too. Anyway, it just needs someone to love it, and no one in our house loves the orange tree anymore. But we know that when you want to grow something good, you need all of those conditions. And so the first thing about coming into, like, talking about the fruit of the Spirit is looking at where are you planted? Where is your source coming from? And the scripture, Psalm 1, 2 to 3, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night? That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. So we need to go to the source to grow good fruit, right? Yeah? To Jesus. We need to be planted in Jesus. So, let's go back to this one. When I think about this scripture, I think about who has shown us the greatest love. And that is God and Jesus, that God sent his one and only Son to die for us. That whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. We kind of skim over this scripture a lot. And it's Father's Day today. And as we're honoring fathers and as we're honoring maybe men or, people who are mentors in your life, we look at our Father who is the greatest. And I loved what Kathy shared this morning about that as well in her communion, is that God is our Father, that he is the greatest example of love in our lives. So, before we go a little bit more into that scripture, I have some questions for you. The way that we're going to see love and the way that we're going to have love as a fruit, something that's nice and ripe and juicy to eat, is going to depend a lot on how do you love. It's also going to be colored by potentially how you were modeled love or mentored love, and then how you give it now and how you receive it. There are just so many sort of different ways that maybe you will really struggle to receive love because you didn't feel very loved as a child. Now the counselor kind of comes into the sermon, right? But so I just want you to like to think about that and think about how has your perspective of life and how you've grown up colored how you love. And that's going to make, putting some of the outworking of the 1 Corinthians 13 scripture can make that difficult to outwork in your life, because maybe there's a lot of hurt and pain in your life and it's hard to love. And the way that you see things and see life is going to be coloured by your experiences. So, the outworking or growing of love takes time for some people. We need to go to the source. Who is? Jesus, that's right. Do you remember some of you who were here for Pastor Mark Betch's sermon? If you haven't heard it, I would encourage you to go and listen to it on our podcast. Everyone knows how to do that. If you don't, ask someone else around the place. Just Leanne. He shared this scripture with us. John 15, verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do. Thank you, Matthew. That's what I was trying to get, was, yeah, interaction, yes. And I loved it when Pastor Mark talked about a little bit more of this scripture, not just that bit. And, you know, he said in the end, like the definition, you know, what this scripture really means is, you know, Jesus is asking us to remain in him and to remain in him and remain in him. And as we are in him, we can grow and bear good fruit. So how about the other scripture then, Matthew 22, 37 to 39, the command that Jesus gives us. Okay, let's read this together. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus is the greatest example of love, isn't he? And God gave us this command to love him first, and then the second is to love our neighbor. There's a whole nother sermon on that bit, loving your neighbor, but I'm not going to go there. Don't worry. My ADHD brain wanted to do that, but we're not going to, otherwise it would be a really long sermon. But Jesus is our greatest example, and he asks us to love our neighbor and to love ourselves. And so then how do we do that? And as I was considering that again, I'll get back to here. 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. I know that this is also another one of our fruits. Love is kind, is another one of the fruits of our spirit. So won't go into those too much. But the question for you is, how patient are you? Sometimes I am so patient and sometimes I am so not. And we can outwork this in so many different ways in our lives, can't we? Maybe you can even think now, you know, are you patient with the person that you live with in your house? And how do you... There's a lot of giggles there. There's some good reactions if you're looking at from my perspective. How do you treat that person? You know, do you show them patience? Are you outworking this in your household? And kindness. Are you outworking kindness with people around you? Are you sharing? Love does not envy. Are you wanting the things that other people have around you? Is that stopping you from loving and caring for other people? Because you're envious of what they have? You don't have to answer every time, Leanne. I feel like Leanne and I are often in conversation in sermon time. It does not boast. Are you sometimes, you know... maybe boasting about things and feeling as though maybe you're better than somebody else around you? It does not dishonor others. What are your words like? Are you honoring people around you? Are you lifting them up? Are you building them up? Or are you being negative? Are you pulling people down? Are you dishonoring them? Some questions, but that was a bit, there was too much silence then. Sorry. That was a hard question. Love Love is not, it is not self-seeking. This one's hard too, isn't it? Because we often want what we want. And when we're thinking about friendships and we're thinking about relationships, we are often thinking about ourselves because that is our human nature. And when we're showing love as a fruit of the Spirit, we are not self-seeking. We're not looking out for ourselves all the time in the relationship. But, you know, we can even put this into the perception of when we're going out into the shops, to the checkout, to the checkout operator, or to the people who are around us or who are in the way at the shops. You can put yourself in the shops and think about this scripture. Love is patient. Love is kind. We're going to be patient and wait, and we're going to not get too annoyed and angry when they Woolworths moves all of the products around on the shelves. I wonder how many of the people who are working in Woolworths are, you know, having to deal with a lot of angry people. It is not easily angered. Or, you know, just frustrated people who maybe aren't being very kind in how they speak. But as a Christian, as a person who's wanting to show the love to others around us, we need to do a double take on that and a double check on that. You know, like when you're driving your car, are you abusing other drivers on the road? Maybe sometimes. You know, they can't hear you, they can't see you, but you're still, there's still that fruit of the Spirit outworking in your life, even when you're on your own. It keeps no record of wrongs. Ah, dear. How many of us have a bit of a checklist against some people in our lives who have wronged us? And there's a few hands going up. They're in the back, mind you, guys. and we have this checklist. It's like, well, if they do that one more time, that's it. They're out. Dung, dung. And look, there is a time in our lives that we need, you know, and with the certain people that we're in relationship with, that we do need to look out for keeping ourselves safe. So, like, I want to make sure that that is, you know, said today as well. There are some people who we do need to move away from because they are hurting us or because they are abusive. But we also need to do what Jesus wants us to do in those relationships. So it could be maybe, you know, having to cut some people out of your life, but then what next? You're not going to love, but maybe you're also thinking in your mind, is this? These two scriptures, even if there are people who have hurt you in your life, who have been unkind to you or have been abusive to you, Jesus still asks you to do what he did. Matthew 5:44. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Isn't Jesus the greatest example of that as he went to the cross? And all the people that wanted miracles from him and wanted, you know, come around him in crowds to listen to his sermons, turned on him and persecuted him. I mean, even one of his closest friends or disciples, Judas, betrayed him. And I know that a lot of us here have had times in our lives where people have betrayed us and people have hurt us. And I want to encourage you today to do what Jesus did, to pray for them. And Luke 6:27, But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. He's taken it a bit far now, hasn't he? What, so I'm supposed to do good to someone who hates me? I'm supposed to be kind to them? I'm supposed to be nice to them? That's what Jesus asks of us. It is not generally what we want to do, though, is it? We want to talk about them behind their back, tell everybody else what they've done to us. We want to yell at them or shout at them, or we just want to completely cut them off. And yes, sometimes we need to completely cut them off. But how we do that, we can do that with kindness as well. If you want to know more on that and the how, just come and have a counselling session with me. We can go through that. But let's go back to this one. What kind of fruit are you producing? Is it ripe and does it taste good to yourself and to those around you? Or is it a bit bruised and a bit mouldy? So in all of the things that we do, I want to encourage you to pray for those who persecute you, pray for those who you know hate you and have talked about you badly behind your back and all of that. Jesus asks us to step up and to walk in the opposite spirit than what they are doing. He asks us to be patient. He asks us to be kind. And so on. So I'd encourage you to get this scripture out for yourself over the week, read it, contemplate on it, and look at how are you showing love in your lives? How are you showing love to other people who are outside of your house, but also to the people who are inside of your house and who are directly around you? And pray for those who hurt you. And you're all wanting to throw rotten tomatoes at me. Which is a fruit. It is. Tomato is a fruit. So that is all from me. And I would love to just pray. And if you today feel like you need a little bit of support and help in showing love to people around you, or even showing love to your enemies or to the people who hate you, please feel free to ask me to pray for you. You can come up for prayer if you want. If there's anything else in your life that you need some support and prayer with, I'm happy to pray with you as these guys come back to sing. So I will move away from Katie's music folder so she can have that. And let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the ultimate sacrifice that you made for us. That God, that you are our Father, and that we can come to you with every burden, everything that is heavy. And Father, help us to continue to show love to people around us, to people in our lives, and to the people who maybe are our enemies or we don't feel like deserve to be loved. Lord, give us the courage to pray for those people. Give us the courage to be kind and to show who you are in our lives. And let that just be outworked in our life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more more information or to listen to other podcasts, head to our website at bethelcrc.org.au or check out Bethel Family Church on Facebook.